this morning, and I want to show you something about God's character that really I appreciate. I think everyone appreciates it, everyone that loves the Lord. And Exodus chapter 22, you know, on Father's Day, I guess people generally deal with how vital a father's role is in the growth of a soul, and that's true. But today I'm not going to do that. I want to highlight something about the fatherhood of God. And I don't know if it's just getting older. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but get a little more perspective on just life. And, you know, you realize it's kind of like Christmas. You know, Christmas is really fun as a kid, and it's fun as an adult, but generally, but not everyone has good memories. Not everyone enjoys some of these holidays. You know, if you have a dad, you probably enjoy the holiday, but not everyone has that. And so I just become, as I get older, just, you know, more aware of maybe more melancholy and all this, but just more aware of some of these things and some more of the things about life that are, they don't seem fair sometimes. But, you know, the reality is some folks here, your dad's still living. Some folks here, your dad is not living. And some folks here, you have a good dad, and some folks, it's not of any fault of your own, but you don't, may not know your dad or know your dad the way you'd like to know him. And maybe you blame yourself, but it's not your fault for those things. Some of you lost your dads. Your dad maybe was your hero, and that's good. That's good, rightly so. But I think of all of this, and when I read about some of the laws that God gave to a nation, and he gave it to the nation of Israel, and he didn't give these laws to any other nation. This was one of the benefits of being an Israelite, was you got the words of God and you got instruction on how to conduct your business as a nation. And so when I read this in Exodus chapter 22, this is part of God's instruction to Israel. And it's born out of God's character. And it really demonstrates an aspect of God's character that I appreciate, and I think you appreciate too. But in Exodus chapter 22, starting in verse 22, the Lord says this: "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." Wow. That is extreme, but it shows how serious God is about the Israelites, the nation, and really anybody, but how serious God is when people take advantage of real victims, people who don't have any power to fight back, and specifically, or don't have any power to do anything against the oppression or the tyranny. And so, specifically named are the fatherless and widows. And so, as I said before, this is one of these laws that God gives to the nation of Israel, and it's born out of his character. So it shows you God's heart. God says, if you do this, I am so opposed to that activity. I am so opposed to you treating people this way, that if you do this, and I hear even a peep from one of these widows or fatherless cry out to me, I will hunt you down. That's how serious he is. And this is a law within the nation. I mean, not every nation got this law, but that was, like I said, one of the benefits of being being an Israelite. You got the Word of God. You got light from above, and you got direction on how to conduct your business and how to be a nation. And so with that in mind, I want to delve into this aspect of God's character, and that is his advocacy, how he advocates for the helpless, and how he is so, in these verses, so serious about the treatment of folks who do not have the ability to move forward or progress or to fight back or anything like that. So I want to give you a few thoughts about this. And ultimately, the goal this morning is just to give you a glimpse into this aspect of God's character. And we're going to take these verses apart because, it's serious business. But it's something that if you are on the side of the fatherless, you appreciate a God who takes up for that cause. If you're on the side of the widow, you appreciate a God that will fight for and will defend that position in life and defend that relationship. And so that all said, I'm reminded of a missionary. He was in Afghanistan. He was a medic in Afghanistan. And I remember him telling a story about being over in Afghanistan. He came to this village and it had been terrorized and blown apart. And he found this little girl, and she was just covered in ash and blood, and no visible parents around, and just, you know, kind of wandering around. And so he finds this girl, and his thought was, he was saved, and his thought was, this is somebody's daughter. And he said he picked her up, and he began to cry. And he thought to himself, why was I raised in America? And she didn't have that opportunity. Why can I go home and I don't face any of these troubles at home, but this little girl in her home, she's not safe even in her own home because of war and that. And he thought, you know, I'm not a better person than she is. I don't deserve these things. And he thought, you know, my kids aren't any better than she is. But they have a chance while she's forced to suffer here. And he said all this in his heart, and his heart was just wrenched. And it was one of those events in his life that God used to call him to be a missionary. And if you ever wonder what a calling of God looks like, it looks like getting God's heart on something. Where you think and you start to have the perspective of God about a situation or about a relationship. And he said that was one of the things that really motivated and inspired him to become a missionary, thinking these things. But I say that to say those thoughts about the helpless, those thoughts about someone like that, those thoughts about this young girl who is fatherless, and those that empathy and that care and that desire to care, that stems from God the Father. That's what how he feels about these things. So that said, the first part of this verse 22, the Lord describes protection for the helpless, and he gives a command: you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Protection for the helpless. That is something of God's character. And it really is. God is a good God. And so much of what God gets blamed for is just not his fault. Men mess things up. And you know what God does? He fixes things. And then men tries to mess it up again. And men, through their pride, they destroy each other. They destroy families. And what they do, you know, God said in the beginning, He creates everything good. So everything is good until man decides to pervert it. And then it becomes bad. And then all of these things that were good, marriage that was good, now is a source of bitterness. Now it's a source of trouble. All of these things that were good, children that were a source of blessing and fruitfulness and just encouragement. Now these things have been perverted. Now they're bad because of what man brings into this, because of sin, really. So the Lord issues this law. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child, because this is the way the Lord, this is the way He feels about it. This is the truth. This is His perspective on it. And it reminds me, I'm just going to read this to you. It's another little story, and I need to read it to you because I'm going to mess it up if I don't. But in 1972, there's a Lebanese girl who was raised Muslim in an affluent family. And she read the first 5 books of the Bible for the first time. And she ran to her dad, and she was so excited about this, to tell him how great God was. And his response was, well, the Bible's just stories. It's just stories. She's raised in this Muslim home. The Bible's just stories, and he said the Quran is God's real book and that kind of thing. So she grows up, and in Lebanon there's fighting, there's war, and in a short period of time, dad is gone, and they're in a war zone, and just night after night, terrorism, no electricity, only lights were explosions that are interspersed with screaming, and her dad by this time had been gone for weeks, and she remembered thinking, why doesn't Allah help us? Why doesn't Allah help us? Well, but that, I mean, that's something that often gets leveled at the Lord Himself. Why don't you do something about this? But she thought, why doesn't Allah help us? And she reflected on the truth, really, that her dad spoke when he said, Allah is not the same God as the God of the Bible. And he said that. She had 2 sisters, 2 brothers, one of which was only a few months old, and they really had nothing to eat at this time, not even for the baby. One of the rich sheikhs who was her father knew came by, and she begged him for help. And she said he had this evil grin on his face and said he would help, but it would cost her something. And we maybe know what that means. If you don't, it's bad. He's going to get something out of her, and then, yeah, I'll take care of you if I get something out of you. And so that was the offer, but she managed to get away before he could do anything to her. She went to her roof, and she said that she cried, and she cried this. She said, God, I don't know where my father is, and you will just have to be a father to me and help me. Please, she said this, please keep me pure. Take care of me. Help me take care of my family. And she said she prayed this every day. She found work, held several jobs down for a few years. By this time, most of her friends were dead. She knew girls her age really didn't live much longer than her age at this time. She thought maybe Allah would reward her with paradise if she became a suicide bomber, so she went to enlist, but couldn't find peace in it. But by then, after she had made arrangements to enlist, she was started to back out, and the soldiers or the people in charge, captain, wouldn't allow it. He said, "Well, you're in. You're not going to back out of this." So the officer took her information, snatched her up. When he found out she was going to back out, he drove her to an abandoned building, tied her up to a steel post, And he said he would come back in 2 hours with his men, and either she would change her mind or they would have fun with her and then kill her. She was tied there all night, awoke to some rumbling, and of course scared hearing those noises. And it wasn't the men coming back for her, but the rumbling was just a beggar. He was just walking around. And he found her, and he untied her. And as she left, she went back down the street. She saw an overturned Jeep with four bodies in it, one of which was the officer that had tied her up. Apparently, they were returning for her when the Jeep overturned and killed all of them. And I'll cut this short, but shortly after all of this in her life, she meets this Christian missionary and comes to trust in the living God. And through all of this, comes to understand God is a father. And through all of this in my life, he's watched over me and he's taken care of me. And so she gets saved and ends up becoming a missionary with her husband. And they go back and they do mission work there, you know. If you want to know, like I said, what a call of God on your life looks like, it's getting a glimpse of God's heart. It's having a heart that resembles God's heart. You know, I think of David, and one of the things, and really the only thing that God said about David before he made him king is, that's a man after my heart. That's a man who sees things the way I see things. And that's a call of God. That's what it looks like. God has a father's heart for the helpless. And so when he issues this instruction to Israel, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. What God is expressing is his heart. You will not do this because I am so opposed to this. I am so opposed to this. So it goes on to say in the second part of this, keep going here. The condition that if you do this, this is what's going to happen. Verse 23, back in Exodus 22, he says, if thou afflict them in any wise, if thou afflict them in any wise. Notice the broad warning, in any wise. That sounds like a father saying, if you lay a hand on them, anything, if you lay a hand on them, I mean, it's almost like if you even look at them sideways, be it known to you, I will oppose you. I will come after you. Why? Because you are encroaching on my heart now. If thou afflict them in any wise, God has no patience for someone who would terrorize the helpless with fear. He has no patience for someone who would terrorize the helpless with guilt. Some people are fatherless and they're guilty. They feel guilty. But it's not, that's not your fault that you're fatherless. He has no patience for that kind of guilt. He has no patience for someone who would, I should say, afflict someone else with that kind of fear or that kind of guilt. Inevitably, I think, you know, the victim of someone else's sin will carry guilt that doesn't belong to him. It seems like it happens so often. There is, after this he says, I'm going to move on here. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me. This, do you notice how, I mean, it's so, not only is it broad in any wise, but then if they say anything, if they cry out to me in any way, I want you to understand, I hear that and I respond to that. And they cry it all unto me. The Lord says, if he hears, it's like so much as a whimper, calling his name from a helpless victim, the fatherless, the widow, he will turn himself toward that call and he begin immediately to address that problem. God says, if I hear so much as a peep from them, I'll run to their aid. Talk about a prayer promise. Verse 23, and I will surely hear their cry. What a prayer promise. Because, you know, and you know why? Because that's the character of God. That's what he is. He is a father to the fatherless. And he has no time for, and this is, it's a blessing to read these things and see how God expected the nation of Israel to act in these situations. And these prayers, this is a prayer promise. This is something that God said, look, within your nation, to the Israelites, if I hear this and someone cries out, I'm going to respond to this. And they cry it all unto me. You know, some prayers, I just say, some prayers God doesn't necessarily care about. And we've talked about those. Not every prayer is a prayer God cares about, and you don't have to be shocked by that. I think you understand that. Not every prayer is a prayer God cares about. Not everything from your children do you necessarily respond to. I want this, I want that, I want candy, I want this, I want that. That's one kind of cry that may not get a response. But the cry that says, help! Help me! That gets your response. I need help, I need help. That is something that mom and dad say, okay, my ears are perked up, I am listening. What do you need? It's like the Lord. That's what the Lord gives you. That's part of parenting. That's part of God as a father. The prayer of the helpless. He listens to the prayer of the helpless and then he prosecutes, as he said in verse 24, and my wrath, verse 24, shall wax hot. I'm going to get very, very angry. I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. Wow. So the Lord prosecutes. Not only does he hear the prayer of the helpless, not only does he have compassion and he issues this protection, listens to the prayers, he prosecutes. The Lord himself says, I'm going to go after this perpetrator. And it's like few things make God this mad. But this mistreatment of the fatherless and helpless is one of those things. The Lord he's a compassionate, compassionate shepherd. He's a compassionate father. And all these things that he gets blamed for. And I want you to really understand. Please understand. God is a good God. And the things that happen in this life, so much of this life is filled with, we read about it in Sunday school and vanity and so much of this stuff. These things are a product of sin coming into this creation. This isn't God's intention. This isn't the way he made it. He didn't predetermine that people should sin and kill each other and hate each other. That's not what he predetermined. He predetermined things would be good. And so he made them good. And then sin enters the world through mankind and then it's messed up. But God is still a good God. Sometimes it's hard to see maybe the goodness beyond all the vanity that you're looking at. Sometimes it's hard to see the goodness of God beyond all the trouble around. But God's still a good God. And this is still his attitude. His attitude for the fatherless, the widows, the helpless folks. He's an advocate for the helpless. Truly an advocate for the helpless. And so he makes provision. Lastly, he makes provision. Let's just look at it. Look in Psalm 68. This is a great verse. Psalm 68, verses really 5 and 5 and 6. He makes provision. The Bible says he is a, in verse 5, Psalm 68, 5, he is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I love that he sets the solitary in families. It reminds me of this, you know, when you get saved, when you trust Jesus Christ, you become part of God's family. The number of now brothers and sisters and mothers that you have is now multiplied. It reminds me of when Jesus Christ, he's sitting in a house and talking, and then some of the disciples come in, and or some of the folks, they say, hey, your mother's outside and your brothers are outside. And he asks the question, he says, who are my mother and my brothers? Of essentially my mother, and he says, aren't the ones that believe? This is my mother. These are my brothers and sisters, the ones that believe. And that's in Psalm 68. He sets the solitary in families. He gives them brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and all of those kinds of things. In the Lord, it's a provision for the helpless. He guides the helpless who call on Him. He provides for their relationships that have been lost because of sin. And really all these relationships are lost because of sin. He's the shepherding Father who has shown every father how to be a father. And this advocacy for the helpless, I'm going to make one application here. And we can wrap it up. But this advocacy, this attitude that God has for the helpless, it's something that I read about in the New Testament. And it makes me think when the Lord talks about being an advocate for, let's just say, sinners in general. John said it this way. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You are. I know you're a sinner by birth, you're a sinner by choice. We're born into this Adam's family, but then we make decisions and decisions that pervert the goodness of God. They pervert the good creation of God. All these things, and so now we find ourselves in a helpless position. God says, "I'm an advocate for that." I want to help the helpless. And so in the most sacrificial way possible, Jesus Christ lays down his life for a bunch of people who can't save themselves. Why? Because God's good. His determination is good. He has a good plan. His heart is toward people who are in a position that they just can't get out of. And I understand. I mean, there's sinners that hate God, but then there's sinners that love God, sinners that want help from the Lord, and this is what's required. Back in Exodus, just reminding you of these things and this characteristic of God. He truly is an advocate for the helpless. He issues this command in the nation. And he says, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Why? Because this instruction stems from my character. This is what I feel. This is how I think about this situation. Don't do that. And if you do that, if you afflict them in any way and they cry unto me, I'm going to hear them. That's a prayer promise for the nation of Israel. I will hear them. I will listen. And I will go to their defense and I will be their advocate. And trust me, you don't want me to be their advocate. And the Lord says, my wrath will wax high and I will become very angry at this. And that sounds bad. It sounds really, really bad. It's something that I think about with I don't know. The world's so full of confusion and vanity, but we have become so accustomed to, it seems like, running to the aid of the wrong people. And we want to defend the perpetrators and not the people who have been victimized by this. And it's that's another thing, but God goes after, he goes after the tyrants. He goes after the dictators. He goes after people who will show no mercy. His heart is for the helpless. He's an advocate for the fatherless. He's an advocate for the widow. And just remember that. Remember that on this Father's Day. Because you may have a good father. You may still have a good father. That's good. That's good. But not everyone does. And not everyone's in that position. And not everyone still has their dad. But God is a father. And he's a father to the fatherless. And he's an advocate to the helpless. Why? That's his character. That's who he is. That's who he is. And so in this law, that's what you get. You get some of God's character. And personally, I appreciate that. I appreciate reading about that in God's character. That he puts these things in law for his nation. I appreciate that. I don't know what the invitation should be this morning, and I guess Sam can come up here and play a little bit. We can just think about God's character. Maybe you need a father this morning. Maybe you need a good father. God is a good father. Maybe that's what's missing in your life. Maybe you miss your dad. God's a good father. And on that side of it, a lot of you, if dad's gone, you know where he is. You see him again. That's a blessing. That's comforting. As Sam plays a little bit, I don't necessarily know what the invitation should be, but we can all think about God as a father. How about that? Think about God as a father and an advocate for the helpless, because that's his character. You can bow your heads, close your eyes, and we'll think about these things.